It. Okay, so I think we're live on Facebook. So I am here. This is Shelley Bowman. I'm here with Stephen P. Rose, and wow, we're gonna have an interesting interview now. So let's start with your first encounter with spirit, and let's go from there.
Okay. So my first healing experience with spirit, I was 7 years of age. I'd been left on my own in a big old house, and with reasons I won't go into, but I basically had been accused of something that I hadn't done. So I was quite upset. My parents went for a walk and left me, and I was sure that at the time that somebody's someone would come and tell me it would be okay. As I say, I was quite upset, and over a period of time, I became aware of a spirit, a healing female spirit that came to was aware. I was aware of her clairvoyantly, and she came from the window across the room, and then she sort of came in into my energy field, my aura. And as soon as she connected with me, I went from being, I had been sort of very upset, and I went from that to completely relaxed, calm, balanced, and feeling whole. I was still aware of what was upsetting me, but I just had this sense of peace and tranquility. And then she began to explain that my parents were fallible and they weren't going to come back and tell me, I was expecting them to come back and say, it's, oh, we made a mistake. And that she just explained that that wasn't going to happen. And I was a And it was my first proper, I mean, it was mediumship and it was healing and it was experiencing how your energy can change in an instant through somebody else's intervention. The fact that it was spirit as well was that was something I became aware of and I've worked with a lot since. The way in which she came to me, I was seven. And so there's a healing spirit, like an angelic energy. And I think all children, when they're in that situation, they do have that sort of intervention. And during readings, I've noticed other people have exactly that. I will pick up that energy in their energy field, and then they'll show me what happened to them whilst why a spirit intervened at an early age. It's a healing spirit. But then that can set somebody off, and a lot of your audience are going to be healers and mediums and psychics, and they'll have that I think that's the same for lots of people. They've had that intervention at an early age. And they step into your energy field. But yeah, that was my first experience. And when she was telling me that my parents wouldn't come back, I was sort of half arguing with her. This is all going on in my head, and she's, no, you're going to be fine. And I just got in. She took me to a deeper place, and I became more and more relaxed. Eventually, I just fell asleep. And when my parents got back, expecting me to still be upset, I was just in a meditative state of calm, which confused them. They just thought, they didn't understand why I was in that place, but that was a very pivotal moment for me and sort of set me on a trajectory. I came back to that later when I started doing mediumship and thought that really was pivotal, but I'd sort of put it away as a sort of a childish thing and not to be thought about. And then when I came back to it, I thought that's really important. And I learned a lot from spirit, but that feeling of you're not going to be left alone. They will, you will, you always got something that someone that will come to you and look after you, that sort of presence around you. And I've always had that, and that's the way I work.
Right. So we kicked off with a bit of a story, and I just want
Yeah.
to do an introduction. And so let's tell us a little bit about what you do now and how you got into that.
Okay, so I'm a clairvoyant healer and medium, and I do readings, but it's always on a healing basis. I read the chakras. I find with people what's going on with them, it's always in their energy centers. So the seven chakras, which most people are familiar with, I'm tuning into that, and then I'm working to heal them during a reading, lift their vibration, and give them an insight into what's going on right now. At the surface is always what's happening at this moment, and then I go into sort of working with spirit and giving them messages from spirit, and just giving them some balance and poise to the moment right now. And they usually come back for healing later. And with the healing, I'm working with Reiki and spiritual healing.
Right. And yeah, so you had sent me a story, and we were talking about that kicked off what we were just talking about. But your mother was a healer. Did she, when that happened, when you're talking about, spirit coming in for the first time and working with you, she didn't feel that energy. She just saw you meditative, and she didn't like feel that something had
Well,
lifted.
no, she didn't, and I think that's true of all of us. Sometimes we're at our very, we can be in a lower vibration. We're not in the place to pick up on what's going on. Other times, when we meditate and we get into the right place, we release the day's tensions, and we're much more tuned in and available. But yeah, she wasn't available at that point, so she didn't really, she wasn't aware of the situation. I mean, later on, I talked to her about it in detail, and she was fascinated. But at that moment, as this, as I've been told, she wasn't going to be listening, which
Right.
is, we can all be in that place, and that's what I help clients with a lot, is lifting them up so that they get that into that place where they're just balanced and open.
Right.
But yeah, that's how she was at that moment.
And you've got a twin brother, and you mentioned something about that. Is your brother also gifted at the same level? And
He started, he was doing readings at 17. So he's sort of stepped back from that. He's gone more of a religious sort of path. So he sort of stepped back from that now. But yeah, he was doing readings, and he was very good. He had I had a moment with him where I was on holiday in Greece. It was Greek island of Kos, and I spoke speaking to him on the phone. And just at this time, he was doing lots of readings and stuff. And he said, "Has there been a car accident?" And I was on a phone box because it was a long time ago. I'm talking to him on the phone. So he said, "Has there been a car accident?" And I said no, and just at that point there was a T junction, and I heard a car screeching. It went screeching past, and I went, "Oh no, yes there has." But yeah, so yeah, he's very gifted. Another example, actually, he did a meditation. His family, his it, and he did this meditation. His family had gone out, so he thought he'd tune in, and our late father came to him. And told him he'd have to go, he must go back to the place that we used to live, because there's a letter for him that he must go and get. And Chris was a bit dubious about going back to that place, but he went back there. And they did have a letter, and it was to do with a life assurance policy that we didn't know about. And if he hadn't gone there, if he hadn't been prompted, then we wouldn't have known about that. So yeah, so he's quite gifted. So yeah.
And your mother's a healer, and you were saying your grandmother as well. So it's in the lineage. Do you think that supported you throughout your youth to get
Yes.
where you
Yeah.
are?
I mean, doing what I do now, my nan would be so excited. My mum was very proud, and she would tell anyone. So yeah, you couldn't keep her quiet, really. But yeah, she's very excited. I did some healing. I think healing is what my first love. That's what I wanted to do first. So I felt so most natural when I was doing healing. That's what I thought I'd do. Doing mediumship or doing clairvoyancy seemed a little bit intimidating or scary, because you've got to get it right. And I'd been to many, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But it's during my healing that my other gifts would kick in, and I think, oh no, this is part of healing. So you to bring somebody's family in, to bring somebody, to help people balance their energies, and you do that in the reading, just by giving them, if you bear witness to an experience that's only somebody's that they've never talked about, or when they have spoken about it, they're frightened that they're going to be believed. If you bring that information out without them saying anything, you bear witness, and it's a healing in that moment that it's difficult to describe, but they're not having to say it, and it's very profound. So you and also you will see with somebody, they will have an energetic release, because it will be it, that trauma will be released from, say, the solar plexus sense of self, or the sacral sense of your emotions, or heart chakra or throat chakra not being heard. All of the, and that will actually, you see that released. And I work in that way to release during a reading, and the best ones are as profound as that. Another healer asked me to do when I, at that point where I was not keen to publicly say I was a medium, because I didn't like the pressure of it, but I could do it. She said, you must read for a friend of mine. She just lost a 9-year-old to brain cancer, a boy. And so I said, and because she asked me, and I knew it was spirit intervening, so I went and I gave this reading, was able to give very detailed information from him to her, to give her some clarity and to help her let go. I think he'd only been gone, this is a long time ago now, but he came through with such information, and it was so, for me, it was so healing for her, and it gave her such clarity and peace. And I thought, oh right, that's what mediumship is. That's not, it's not a sort of a sideshow. It's not like something to entertain. It is actually a healing. You're lifting people and you're releasing things, and that's something that I've come to realize over the years. Because when I'm healing, people will, spirit will come in and give information. So if I'm doing the throat chakra, and your communication has been affected by a relationship with someone, and they're in spirit, they'll come in and say, and take, they will give the message, but they, as I'm healing, I will feel the information, and I will, spirit will come in and try and help, and I'll give that message. And they only give me the information if they're quite, that it's coordinated by spirit. They only give it if I'm meant to say it. Mm. They won't tell me, or they very firmly tell me, this is for your information, but don't use this to help heal. This is what happened. But that happens a lot. And so that's the way I work, but it's from a healing perspective. And on that front, that's how I work and teach. But I think there's lots of people that do Reiki. But I learned from my mom how to work intuitively, because she, I didn't even realize that was a thing. I just, that was how we did it. So I just, you pick up on what's going on with people, and then you'd be working with their energies. And so I do that within my healing. So I'm naturally drawn to where to go to. There is set hand positions, but, and I, and, but you work intuitively, you go to what's needed. So as I was giving an example, somebody that's been through maybe trauma, or I will be working, I'll be consciously working with the chakras where those experiences have been laid down. I start with my hands at the back of the head and let them just unwind. And I'm gradually lifting their vibration. I'm lifting my vibration, their vibration, and they're relaxing as they, the deeper they go. And I can feel where they're at. I can feel the tension within them. And then as they go, I feel them go deep. I go deep with them. Then I can start helping just balance their energies. And what you're doing as a healer is you're giving their own ability to heal themselves. You're just moving things out of the way, so just things flow through them. But I think because I work intuitively, I'm working with that energy. So Reiki, universal life force, flows through you, lifts your vibration, but you step aside, but then you can step back and then and work with it if you've balanced your own energies, which is something we sort of were talking with about before. But you need to balance your energies. You need to spend time on yourself. You need to self-treat every day. If you have the ability, you don't need to have done a Reiki course to meditate every day or take time to balance and be in the moment, but it's so important. And then little things that you pick up from people won't resonate with you and set your stuff off, because that's what can happen.
What you said about the sideshow kind of thing, like I because I read the Akashic records, and that's one thing that I do, and it's what I do whether I'm in this body or not. It's just something that I do in any lifetime. But the and that's kind of my thing. But the I don't I can tell if someone's wanting for entertainment's sake, and then I won't do a reading. So
No,
it's more,
exactly.
I can give them information about themselves to have as a huge opportunity to work on themselves. And if their soul thinks that they can handle the blocks and restrictions that they can work on now, then I will tell them those. But I don't get the ones that they can't handle right now. I just don't, and I don't ask for those. So it's interesting. It's a different kind of just I'm a Reiki master as well for like 26 years. And so it all kind of combines. I do access consciousness. And when you're talking about like putting your hands in your head, it's something that we do to start to, it's called an energy pull, and it starts the energy flow. So you start working with it. But it's just there's so many different modalities. I do other modalities, but it's like everything you're saying, I can completely relate to because I do that as well, with healings. And I do Reiki on myself every morning, just before I get up and meditate, because that kind of brings me into a state where it's easier to meditate. But the and you had talked about a meditation that you do or that was shown
Yes.
you.
So yeah, so I did I'm just thinking how long ago. It's over 10 years ago now. So I was meditating daily for at least half an hour to an hour, and it was the same time every day. And I did it for, I think it was about 40, 50 days. I know it was over a month. And my guides were coming in. I was taking notes. And this particular day they said, you need to make notes of this. I mean, I was taking it all on board, but I was breathing slowly like we do during the meditation, but they wanted me to be more conscious of my breath. At the same time, they wanted me to just focus on my heart chakra. So your heart chakra is the center of your chakras, and it's your healing center. So unconditional love, which is what healing is. So you focus on your heart chakra, and you just imagine that warmth from that chakra expanding. At the same time, we're releasing everything that's not for us. So with each breath in, we send up and out to the universe what's not for us. And with each breath out, we send down to Mother Earth what's not for us. So that's in and up, out and down. So in and up to the universe, out and down to Mother Earth. And as we breathe out, we imagine roots from the soles of our feet and the base of our spine. And so you're with each breath, you're sending stuff up to that vibration. So heart up and heart down. So the lower vibrational stuff's going to Mother Earth, the higher vibrational stuff's going out to the universe. And there's all sorts of other things going on within that, but it was very simple and it's easy to do. So in and up, out and down, and then you just feel the warmth in your heart chakra grow as you release all of those things that you've taken on board. And my guides were also showing, they were telling me that it was an ancient meditation that had been forgotten, but they were saying how important it was for people that are light bearers, light beings who are very aware of other people's energies, very sensitive. So you're taking on so much stuff. So this is a constant thing that you can do to release. You can also do it during healing as well. So you can do it for other people. So I do it. As I'm breathing, I'm doing that in and up, out and down. I'm merging with their energy and sending their stuff. And then eventually, so that's just a natural that I do at the start, where I'm working in many different ways as I'm holding their head. And then I move on to different hand positions, which my guides have shown me. But that breathing, it just releases everything for them. They go into very deep place, and then you can feel where they're when you're sync with them. Tip that I do tell my students is it something you may notice when you're synced with your client energetically, when you're healing them, you may have your eyes closed, but you open your eyes and you'll feel when you're synced, and you look at their breathing and you will be breathing with them, and you'll be breathing exactly the same manner. I've noticed it where I feel synced, and I'm sort of working with their energies. So you have to be synced to do that. And then I'll look just to check, because I'm not conscious of it. I'm not doing it consciously, and I realize that my breathing is synced with them. And that's sort of, you're connecting with them and you're helping them. They're safe, and then you're releasing things for them. And the majority of my clients, so the result is they're in the moment at the end of the reading, and they're completely relaxed. Some just have to wait before they can drive because they're just so relaxed that it just takes a bit of time for them to come around. But it's just a complete release of tension. And it has occurred to me over the years that what I just sort of my introduction was talking about that spirit that healed me, and I went from stress to completely relaxed in an instant, and that's what I'm doing for my clients.
Right.
I work with obviously I work with spirit, so I'm a spiritual healer, as taught by my mum, and I'm also a Reiki healer, sort of working with that universal life force. I think it's an interesting thing to make that comparison. So, universal life force, you're sort of, you know how to connect. It feels natural, but you're sort of stepping out of the way of the energy. And with when you're working with spirit, the spirit, you're sort of stepping out of the way a little bit again. Spirit are coming in with what they're bringing, and as a spiritual healer, I'm working with lots of different types of healing. So I've got shamanic healing and all sorts. I find that the analogy of soul retrieval, of little bubbles of experience, because I do a lot of releasing experiences that are traumatic and bringing that energy back. So you have a bubble of experience that is part of your energy, which is sort of trapped, and that affects you emotionally. When you as I bear witness to a reading, during a reading, and then bringing that back. The idea of a bubble of experience with all the intensity of it comes back. Of what you experience as a person is that, and this can be happening on your own, but you that wants to come back and be released. But quite a lot of people, they'll push back on that, because as that bubble of experience comes, it contains within it the feeling that you felt at the time, and you don't want to feel like that. As a big burly man, you don't want to feel like you did at 8 or 10 or whatever, or whoever it is. So you push back on it. But if you just bear witness, then you can release it, and then you've got that energy back, and you can engage with the bit that's been put away. So some people can have put away the sensitive child they were, with all the strengths and complexity within that, because they can't. Because of that experience, so you help integrate that as part of their now, and we're all a work in progress, and we've always got stuff going on, but that's the sort of work that I do, and it's very profound, and it's a lovely experience to be a part of when you see somebody get back to a sort of a sense of being in the moment, but having more of themselves in that moment when they get there. So yeah, so that's how I see my work. So I don't want to do readings as entertainment, because it's not what I do. That's why I've started a new website called healingreadings.co.uk, because it pretty much tells you what you're gonna get. So
Yeah, I was actually just this morning listening to something, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it's what you were talking about with the experiences. It wasn't put in the context of being a bubble, but I've seen that where you can see people's eyes dart to something, and then I can tell, oh, you've got a video, in your past. Like you can tell it's in the past or the future or whatever, but usually in the past. But they were saying, and I was walking in nature, like I go do my meditation, and I do like a hike every morning, and they were saying if people open up their arm like they're about to hug a loved one when a traumatic memory comes in and they welcome it, then they can transmute and release it. So it's like a welcoming release of just letting that go. And I thought that was beautiful. The book was cool. I can't even remember the name of the book, but I'll put it in the comments under this interview. But it was interesting because they said physically, like My dad died when I was six. It was in a plane crash that was very sudden. So it's like,
Right.
when I was listening to this, I was thinking, well, what's something traumatic that I can try this on? And so I'm walking through nature and I'm going, okay, I'm welcoming a loved one, like welcome this trauma. And I've done loads of work on this, and that I don't have trauma associated. But I was thinking, what's an easy thing that I can just like pick out of the air? But I was walking along, like, okay, I welcome in this, sad experience, and I'll just hold it in as welcome and then just let it go. And it's an interesting concept. Like, I listened to this morning, and then you've just said, when you
Right.
actually
Okay.
welcome it in and then like don't push it away, because that's what most people do, is they bury it and push it away, and then it doesn't get released.
Yeah, I think yeah, exactly. And by being the way I work, by being able to bear witness to people's experiences. So somebody will sit, it doesn't, I sometimes I won't do any mediumship. It's all about tuning in psychically and talking about the people in their lives. So I go via their chakras. At the top is, as a mum, you'll be thinking about your kids and your relationship, and then your key work relationships. And I'll go to the ones that are right at the top, and I'll just go to them and I'll talk about them and their issues and what's going on with them, to bear witness to the experience that person's having. If somebody's going through a relationship breakup, which you get a lot of that doing readings, I'll feel it in the chakras. So I'll feel, by the way that what I feel, if I feel a lot of arguments, then I'll feel it in the throat chakra. If they're with somebody that is a verbal bully, coercive, controlling, I'll feel it and I'll tell them, this is, I can feel it in your energy. Then I go to his energy or her energy, and I will be able to pick up just by bearing witness to that. You give somebody a release. So rather than saying I think I'm in a coercive relationship, because some people are so not sure because they're all over the place. By bearing witness to it, you give them so much of a release, and then spirit often step in to say, to give their opinion, which is, it's lovely. But so many different aspects to what I do, but it's lovely to be able to do it effectively, and to do it effectively, you do have to work on yourself. So I have to meditate. I have to balance my energies. Otherwise, all healers have come through a healing journey. So you have to balance what you've been through to be a blank piece of paper to get the impressions that you're going to get. Otherwise, your stuff will just resonate with it, and you're too busy thinking of your stuff to think about this.
When I started working on my doing the different levels of Reiki was when I started meditating. Like, I'd moved to
Right.
Hong Kong, and I was going to these meditations with this Tibetan nun, and that's where I met the Reiki master who trained me.
Right.
And so, it was coincided that, start meditation, start, the Reiki trainings and the different levels. And I think it's very hard. I don't want to be too detrimental, but last year I was in Bali, and you've got so many very young people, and I'm not saying they're not healers, but I'm a healer, or I'm a life coach, or this and that. And you're thinking, have you done the work that's
Yeah.
necessary to be able to really help yourself first, and then help, other people? And you said your brother was doing healings when he was a teenager. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but when there's so many 20 somethings in one place, you're thinking, I think there's a lot of
Yeah.
people go to Bali to get healed, but then they need money, so they become a healer themselves when they really haven't done that essential
I
work.
think, I mean, I've sat on quite a few circles. I'm 54 nearly. But I started sitting on circles when I was 20. One of and she's still going actually. She was doing a mediumship demonstration. I know she's in her late 80s. But I was sitting on her circle, and she said the best thing for be a medium, is just experience, just. Because you've dealt with so much, and so it informs everything that you're doing within the reading. But the flip side of that, though, is I did have experiences at age seven, which were very profound. So that informs what I do now. I wouldn't have turned around and said, right, I'm going to teach you at seven. I was just a sponge, and I was very open, and I was picking up on all these experiences. I was very much wanting to listen to other teachers, and I have had some great teachers along the way. Some amazing people. I had a lady, she's passed now, who, when we sat on her circle, every reading she did and every circle she ran, she was in trance. So she was her Tibetan, she was a retired legal secretary, and her Tibetan guide, I just remember she'd be talking. She said, right, okay, we're going to start now. So she'd sort of go off, close her eyes, and then her guide would start speaking, and it was a phenomenal, the information, and all sorts of philosophy and all sorts. But she just ran the circle, just a normal development circle. And within that, and it's so important to be able to sit on a circle like that with the energy of the people there multiplies. So it's times you've got two people, it's not an addition of the energies, it's a multiplication of the energies. And the more you have that, and then you've got somebody that runs it, that's and their energy, if they're a balanced soul, if they've got their ducks in a row, then the energy in that circle is amazing. And it was with her. And I sat with the other lady that I sat with, Gwen Legg. I say she's still performing. I was told by my mum, my late mother, that we shared a healing guide, actually my brother as well, and she'd given me the name of that guide. And sitting on the circle with the other lady, Gwen Legg, her name is, but she just, at the beginning of the circle, this is like 15 years ago, she just turned to me and she said, oh, you've got a guide that you share with your mum. And then she named it. And it was just like, and because I wasn't sure, because do we share guides? I wasn't sure about that. But then she sat on a circle and just only she named him and told me. So I thought, oh, okay, that is definitely true then. But I was just blown away by her accuracy. What she could do, just amazing. And had all sorts of other teachers. I had a yogi. He was I was 25. I think he was 80. He's in his 80s when I met him, and he was teaching me embryonic breathing and the power of sound, just because he was just focused. And he was a very he's made some music which I still use for meditation. But just to sit with him in his presence, he was a former advertising executive. Former soldier, but and he was a big guy, he's still tall, he's still over 6'4", in his 80s. And he's just sitting there, and he was meditating and showing and just doing this embryonic breathing. So that's two notes at the same time, sort of coming together. Sort of, it's just amazing to hear him, and just to have that experience of meeting him, and him taking the time to speak to me. It was again pivotal for me in my sort of search for an understanding. When I first opened up psychically as an adult, I was 20, and at that time I had the experience I had. I would now know it to be claircognizance. I just knew stuff about the people around me, and I was telling them, and I was very aware and tuned in. And I thought at that moment, that sent me on my path. I wanted to understand how it worked. How is it possible for me to get that information? And I knew at that moment as well, there were people that would think that's not possible, and I knew it's possible because I just done it. So how does that work? How can I improve it? And that set me on my path to sort of do what I'm doing now, sort of 30 odd years later, with all sorts of study, talking to people, meditations, and just coming back to it. Originally, it was just a passion and enthusiasm I had for this subject. And then it became, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to earn money from this as well. So I'm going to do it full time and help other people. Because part of that journey is, as we've been describing, to find balance. What people are looking for is a balance so that they can just sit in the moment and connect to the infinite and have a sense of that. And that's what I'm helping people achieve. Everyone's doing that at different levels. But that's my goal, to help other people to do that. So, And it's yeah, it's when it's I have sessions with people, and it's just I feel so honored to be able to do what I do.
Yeah,
So.
that's because whenever I rarely do sessions on other people now because I just do other things, and I have other ways that I can make a bigger impact on a broader group of people there rather than one on one. But when I do get that opportunity, it's beautiful because I mean, as you're a conduit for the energy, it's coming through and healing you as well. And
Yes.
that's a beautiful thing. And as you said, it's like whenever I do that, because I do it on myself, but and I do that most mornings when I wake up, but yeah, when I do it on other people, it's beautiful because you're helping them, and it's I mean almost everyone goes to sleep because you take them down to like that level, and then they just but we're having not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, there's this thing called a Vision Fest or Vision 7. So there's been six before this, and
Right.
it's in the sacred jungle space, and there's a lot of healers. Last time I think there was 25 healers, and every person has different places. There's a mother tree. I was below the mother tree. A friend of mine was up above, and people get to like have a healing buffet. They just kind of go around, and there's a center stage, and I'm
Right.
doing this time there's what's called a healing stage, and so I'm doing a 1 hour workshop, and it's on kind of like energy 101, but what it's culminating. So I'm just starting people like, can you feel this energy when you breathe out? Can you feel it even more intensely? And then have them work on someone else, and then take them to threes where they send the intention to two people, send their intention to a third person, and then take them out. I don't know if you've read the book, but Power of Eight.
Yes, I have.
Yes. So, and then I'm going to put them into circles of eight. And so, as you said, that intention doesn't just like there's eight people here, so it's eight energies. It's multiplying. Like the power of
Yes.
eight circles are crazy. Like I've been on one where we're all internationally and we're sitting there virtually holding hands. I know who's on my left, I know who's on my right, and we're putting people in the center, and the visions that were coming through of their intention, like they would give us a single intention. And we would all focus on that, and we would just get these envisions of like things happening. So I'll be interested to do because it's in a week and a half, this workshop that I'll be doing. And I've done this before with about 70 people, and when I got to the end, it was International Earth Day. We send our intentions to healing the earth. So this time we're going to do that again, but in the sacred jungle, and it's fun because
Yeah.
people that aren't really used to that, they're going, oh wow, I can actually do this myself. This is amazing.
Yeah. That's the when I'm working with people that aren't, they come to you for a reason, but you're just showing them your gifts. I spend a lot of time exploring, telling them how their gifts are working, how them people lots of people are using their own intuition without realizing it's a thing. We talk about intuition or mother's intuition, but people don't realize they're actually using it. And then I will tune in and tell them how they're using it and how to use it more and how to work with it. But what you were saying there is intention. I was going to say that actually, intention is so important because we are co-creators of our reality. You make things happen for yourself. So your intention, what you're planning, what you visualize it, the more you visualize it fully, the more it realizes and happens for you. But within a healing or with a healing environment or a reading environment, if you're focused on lifting everyone's vibration, then it has that effect. So you get more spirit coming in, you get more synchronicity happening because you're working with the person's path. And well, try it. I was gonna say anyone that's not done that, then try it because it really makes things, it sort of lifts things up a little.
Yes,
I have found.
and also it's like with everyone's talking about manifestation and oh, you can do this to manifest that, but people don't realize that how powerful they are, and you can manifest lack as much as you can manifest abundance.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
people don't get that. If they're in their negative thoughts, they're going to create more of that negativity. If they're in their, positive and, the higher vibrations you mentioned, they will create more of that because we are so powerful with our thoughts. And I think it's become like this trend of, well, it has, after The Secret and all this, people talk about manifesting and they don't really realize that manifesting is, it goes to both polarities.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very, very good at manifesting lack, and not just lack of money, but lack of, love or lack of, compassion, lack of whatever that they're thinking. Oh, I don't have enough money. Of course, you're not going to have enough money because all you're thinking is, I don't have enough money.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I think also with intention, I think it's really important to say and because you are co-creating, when you choose to do healing, you are involved with it. Quite a few people, they sort of they will do healing, but they will say, "Oh, it's not me. It's the healing," and that, and they sort of almost step away from any responsibility for what they're engaging with. Because you choose to do healing, then you're engaged with it. Your intention is part of it, so you are part of it. You're not completely, people have. Quite a few people, it would seem, would they're struggling with their own ego, but in a lesser, rather than too much ego, they haven't got enough. So that you are engaging with the healing, you're part of it. Your energy's involved. You're doing the healing, so you're engaged with that and be a part of it. And then you may find you've got a lot more going on. So working intuitively, you're more aware of your involvement in it rather than it just passing through you. Although you can just do that and sit passively and watch. But watching can be illuminating as well.
I think it's quite disempowering to think, I'm not having anything to do with it because you are. And
Yeah, I've heard that a lot from people, but yeah.
even the clients, they're taking a very proactive approach just by coming and asking for a healing. That's very proactive. And it's like, especially because I do the Akashic Records, and that's a even taking it a step further in terms of the esotericness of it. So the people that come to me for Akashic Records readings are not your average, the kind of person who sits and eats potato chips and watches TV. They've sat in a lot of caves throughout a lot of lifetimes to get to a point where they're very open to, an Akashic Records reading.
Yeah, that exactly. I think I always as I say, when a client is really tuned in, then they're great to read. I like reading for other readers, to be honest, because it's fascinating to sort of to read them, and they'll be conscious of, maybe conscious of spirit guides, and I'll be talking about the spirit guides, and it just reinforces it. I'll tell you what they're thinking or what their specialities are. But just going back all the way back to when I was on Teresa Doherty's circle where she was in trance, then I started to become aware of my guides then, and I started to become aware of a bit of their personalities, and it was just because she was so in tune with hers, then it drew yours out, and it was a great experience. But I was so I didn't realize at the time, because I was only 20, how lucky I was to be. I just thought that was normal, the fact that she went into trance.
Right.
No idea that that was unusual. I just thought, oh, it must be what they all do. I had no idea.
And I've got a book here somewhere. It's called The Seer. I can't remember where I put it, but oh, it's right over there. But yeah, The Seer. And he's in the UK, and he's American, but he's been drawn to the UK and
Right.
finds his teacher there that starts to teach him. But he was talking about something very similar, where
Right.
finding a teacher that can kind of walk you through the steps, or being a seer himself, then later on seeing people that are just beginning that journey and being able to offer them assistance. Because I had a friend who had an awakening, but she was alone. She came out,
Yeah.
her 3 eyes open. There's nobody there to tell her what's going on. So it's just a freak out of and a lot of times I think when people have an awakening experience, or this is what I've heard, is that, you know, they're so alone because all this, you know, new things are being opened, new dimensions are being opened up. They end up in the psych ward, you know, drugged or psych ward, because it is like you need someone to handhold you. And that's kind of, it's a parallel part of what I was doing last year. It was a project that was helping
there's
that.
a lot of work that I do on that, on that wavelength. There's a specific way somebody feels when they're in that place, be it they have bipolar or they've got schizophrenia, but that, and that comes through from spirit as well, but it's how they were. But I firmly believe it's an energetic imbalance, you know, with mind body connection. So your energetic issues will affect your physical, which can become a chemical imbalance, but that can be through diet and practice and clear thinking, you can bring it back for a lot of people. I believe, I think that's, you know, but as you were describing, I think there's a lot of energy issues for people where they've opened up, and it's, they talk about Kundalini rising, don't they? So coming up from the base chakra, so all the way through, and it's sort of a surge of energy, and as it hits your issues in different chakras, it can set you off. If you've not sorted out your love for yourself and your heart chakra, or if you've not worked out how to communicate effectively or communicate your truth in your throat chakra, or your third eye's blocked, then when it gets there, it'll just go, all the issues will be, they'll seem all encompassing. And if you've got a little bit going on in all of them, then you'll feel that. And I think that's what happens with people.
Well, someone that I used to work with, she was adamant. She was like, you know, she was seeing so many people are like really trying, like, I want to get my Kundalini rising and things. She's like, you don't even have your base chakra solid. You know, you can't, that's really dangerous to, when you haven't done the work on from the base up and like sorted things out, and you're basically dealing with fire, and it's really not healthy.
If you talk to people that are regularly working psychically or as a medium, then they're more focused on shutting down. So they know opening up's something you can do, and I do very, but what afterwards I need to shut back down. You can't be on open all the time. People that are trying to prove it to everyone, oh, I'm always open, I'm always picking up on things, that's not healthy. Don't do that. Shut down, and then you've got more energy to bring to when you are working or reading or focusing on your own development. You've got more energy to bring to that. If you're constantly picking up on everyone's stuff and what's going on around you, then, you know, that's, it's not healthy. It's a lesson to learn for balance, is to shut down more often. It's just healthy,
And the same woman, actually, I was wearing a crystal, and it was near my heart chakra, and she was like, you're too empathic, take that off right now. And I'm like, and she couldn't even see it, it was under my shirt. She's like, she was just feeling it, and she's like, you're too empathic, don't put anything like that near your heart chakra, because it's like you said, it's like on. And
that is something we haven't even mentioned, the fact I have a business, Rose Gems, and we do healing crystals. I do that with my partner, but yeah, it's really, my mum was always into crystals. She's always giving me crystals and saying, hold this, what'd you get? The first crystal, I think the first thing she gave me was snowflake obsidian, which is a grounding protective crystal, which was very helpful. But yeah, so I love when we're working with people in person and you're tuning into them, what they're drawn to is what's good for them. So they're drawn to amethyst because they need sort of overall protection and compassion, or rose quartz for heart, or carnelian, which I really love because it's great for the sacral chakra. I've done a lot of work on my sacral, so I know how effective it is. But yeah, it's a whole other thing. But yeah. I love working with crystals as well. That's, but I think for me, I started without crystals and then worked with them. So I knew what it felt like to work without and then with, because there's so much to learn within the crystal world as well.
Yeah, the woman I'm talking about, her name's Liz McCaughey. We were at a festival and she brought it's another it's Hong Kong has a lot of, people in the healing or wellness space. And there was this thing before COVID called the Garden Gathering. And we were sharing a tent and she brought these crystal skulls and she was like, "We'll just cover these up while we sleep. Otherwise we're gonna be astral traveling like crazy." So, but yeah, she brought all these amazing crystals with her. But her thing was, people expect crystals to do all this stuff for us, but they actually need our help and, nurturing as well.
It's an exchange of energy. We've got moldavite is one of the ones that we have. That's a tektite. It came from it's green. It looks like Superman's kryptonite, but it's amazing stuff and it's very powerful. And we had a room full of that, and we got two we adopted two cats. They're about 9 months old, and we put them in that room. And then we realized that we should have taken the moldavite out because it really affected them. They were just a little bit, they were out there. We thought, oh, this is what they're like. And then we realized the moldavite was in that room. We took the moldavite out of that room and then they calmed down.
Oh, wow.
I've had a lot of interaction. I mean, I do a lot with animals, but my partner's, one of the cats, we were nursing her and we kept her going for a long time, but she had different issues. But she would wrap herself around a 3 kilo rose quartz. So
Wow.
eventually we put her bed over the rose quartz, but she would just curl around it. And we had Ted was he was he'd had water on the brain as a kitten, so he was quite spacey. He was very much a space cadet. He would drift off and see things. So for him, it was grounding was really important. So for him, it was petrified wood. So he loved petrified wood. So we had different forms of that that he used to have around, and it really helped him. So seeing it with animals, where they don't know what the properties are, but they're just drawn to it. And it's the same with people. They're drawn. So we always say to people, "What are you drawn to?" And then say rose quartz and get a heart chakra or whatever it is.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, I've got a big Tibetan singing bowl. And I hadn't, I was in Nepal. I hadn't any intention whatsoever of buying a super heavy singing bowl. And
Right.
I was walking down the street and I was just like zoop, into the shop and this one. It's got an image of Kundalini and it's the purest sound. It just keeps resonating and resonating and resonating.
Right.
So
I was
sometimes.
using one before we started. Sorry to interrupt you. I got a little one here that I was using
Right.
to secure the energy. So.
But yeah, it's just the same with the crystals I do have. They were just like, "Oh, that one. I guess I need this."
Yeah.
It was never like, "Oh, I'm gonna go crystal shopping." It was be like, "Oh,
I've got quite a few of my mum's. I've got this amazing moldavite necklace. I haven't got it to hand actually, otherwise I'd show you. But she used it as a pendulum. And I didn't really realise the significance of it before, because she died 12 years ago. So 13 years ago. And I found that necklace and I was like, oh, at the time I was like, I knew what moldavite was. And I was like, oh my, that's amazing. So it's so powerful. Use it as a pendulum or just put it on. If I wanted to immediately sort of go straight up to third eye and crown chakra, I'd put it on. But I don't do that anymore because it's too much. I don't need to. It lifts
Right.
your vibration too quick.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to someone else and I do get the great fortune of meeting a lot of very interesting people, and he was talking about so there was someone down the hall from him, and this person had all these crystals, and he would be working late, and he would like hear all this paranormal activity going on in that office after the person was gone, because he had all these massive crystals, and it was like, maybe he didn't exactly know what they were for, just like thought they were nice, or they were very powerful and maybe a bit too powerful. But yeah, I do. When my I'm doing the Akashic Records, I'm using a dowsing, and I have a rose quartz and an amethyst one, and I'll feel which one needs to be used for the reading that I'm going to be doing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Anyway, we've been going for over an hour. This is supposed to be a half an hour interview, so anyway, amazing. Maybe we should have a whole new interview just on crystals, but
Yeah, we can do that. I'm happy to do that. Absolutely.
anyway, so I have to close, because if I stayed on and we kept chatting, it would keep going to Facebook. So I'm gonna cut this now, and we can chat whenever you want. We can do another Zoom without recording it. But anyway, so grateful to have you join me, and let's
It's
keep in
been fun.
touch. And I will be
Yeah,
sending
let's do that.
links and all that kind of stuff. So thank
Great,
you.
thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye bye.